Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Now on Food FM, you're listening to Bread and Butter with Caroline Kenyon. Caroline and her guests make sense of the world through food, from politics to farming, making and cooking.
Online, on smart speakers and on Listen Again, this is Food FM.
Hello, I'm Caroline Kenyon and it's my great pleasure to welcome you to Bread and Butter. And today we have a fabulous guest. We have Chef Maria Bradford, who is known for introducing Sierra Leonean cuisine to the UK. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a real treat because I'm going to be honest, I'm looking forward to being educated about Sierra Leonean food. I mean, we're using this lovely opportunity to chat. It's sort of prompted by the fact that you very recently published your first book, I believe.
Oh, no, my book will be published next year. I had a publishing deal last year from Quadril, Heidi Grant. My cookbook will be published next year.
Fantastic. Well, that builds the anticipation up even more. Tell us a bit about yourself, Maria. I know that you were born in Sierra Leone. How old were you when you came to the UK?
So I came to England as a teenager to continue education. I was born in Sierra Leone, as you said, and I lived in Sierra Leone all that time and then came here to continue my education as a teenager. And went to university and did finance and accounting. And I worked as a finance and accounting person for about 10 years. And about 6 years ago, during that time I was doing food and stuff like that. And then 6 years ago, I started doing chili sauce and the drinks and all of that, just doing bit and bobs like that and selling it at farmer's markets. And then I went to culinary school, because I was doing traditional Sierra Leonean food and, exploring a little bit, mixing flavors with European flavors and stuff like that. So I thought, to kind of improve my chances and probably give me a bit more confidence, I went to culinary school just to get more confidence in what I was doing and kind of be able to call myself a chef, I suppose.
Understood. So has food always been in your life?
Absolutely. Food has been a massive part of my life since I was very, very little. And my earliest memory of even like playing was never really dolls. It was always play cook, as we call it in Sierra Leone, just taking things out of your mom's kitchen and making concoctions with it outside that you kind of feed under your chin because it's not really something that you can eat, and then gradually moving on to doing things that you like, kind of mixing things that will not kill someone and force feeding other kids with it and saying, try this and try that and that. So, and my family as well, you know, my mother is a really, really good cook. My grandmother, my aunties, and I grew up in a really large family with lots of women. So cooking was like a big deal, especially weekends, because my mom worked during the week. So when it comes to weekend, there was always a lot going on and it's always around food and everyone comes to our house for food and there's a whole community and that. So yes, food has always been part of my life.
It sounds wonderful, Maria, and I love that idea of food as community, and that's what it is for me. So As a girl, you were expected to help. Do you have brothers?
Absolutely.
Were they expected to be involved?
Not really. Unfortunately, in Sierra Leone, girls are more expected to help than boys. So girls are more expected to be in the kitchen because, you know, unfortunately, we're still raising girls to cook for husbands and get married and all of that. So girls are more expected to cook. But I had an extra special interest, I suppose. So to me, it wasn't a chore. It wasn't something that somebody asked me to be in the kitchen. I was always there and I was always so curious and asking a lot of questions. And for me, it wasn't just about being in the kitchen and cooking. It was also following my mom to go to the markets because I'm so interested in markets in Sierra Leone because everything is fresh. For example, if you want to buy peanut butter, there's no peanut butter in jars or anything like that. You have to buy toasted peanuts in the market and it's ground. If you want to, get fresh, things, you know, everything is just there and you buy and they process it for you. And that's how you buy. You buy your own butter beans. If you want to do beans, you buy your own butter beans dried and you boil it. Nothing is in tins and stuff like that. So that part of food has always kind of also been interesting to me. And just that process, that community, basically from going into the market, having that relationship, the grocery, the people that sell the groceries, and getting that home and then having family around and everyone helping out, everyone contributing and starting, you know, little things and that, because they start trusting you with minor tasks in the kitchen. And then they start trusting you with bigger things like cooking rice. Basically, that starts from about probably 8, 9. And as you go and as your confidence grows, they start trusting you with bigger things like making sauces and making dishes for the whole family. So I liked all that process. Yeah.
And is it an oral tradition of sharing recipes or is anything written down?
Nothing's written down. Unfortunately, nothing's written down, which is it's quite nice that you can talk to people about things. But I also wish that there was a lot of writing. It was only when I came to England and when I started exploring food that I started bugging my mom, even with regards to writing things down for me and writing ingredients. So not necessarily methods, but more writing ingredients of what goes into this, what goes into this. And there was always this thing where she always felt like it was a burden to her. Like, and my grandmother used to say, I'm really inquisitive. It's like, oh my God, you're so inquisitive. You ask way too many questions. But, so unfortunately it's not really written down. It's more oral. And then as you get older, of course, like if you have interest in it, you start writing your own stuff. And because I was so used to people just passing information orally and not writing it, it did take some time for me to get to that mindset where I started writing things down. And it was more my husband, to be fair, which, I would say probably nearly, you know, just when we got married, and we've been married for like almost 20 years now. And he was the one that was really pushing and just saying, oh, can you write this down? It'd be good, you know, if we have kids, it'd be nice for them to know exactly what to do and all of that. So he started it. So when I did have book deal, we had to go through the loft and have a look and just see what was written over 10 years ago and kind of explore that and go over that.
I'm sure you were really grateful to him that he nagged you to write things down. So what do you think when you first came to England, Maria? What do you think of food here?
I thought it was boring. Food was very strange. That much I knew. Food was very strange. But I think the most difficult thing was the fact that I came from Sierra Leone and straight into Kent, Westmoreland. I wasn't in an area where there's African shops, and I wasn't in an area where I can explore black food, if you like. I wasn't in an area where anybody looked like me, where I can be inquisitive and ask questions about, oh, where do you get this? Where do you get this? And the one big thing, to be fair, was the whole time I was, when I came, I had shaved head because there was nowhere. Like we went to my mom's friend, who I came to stay with, she literally took me everywhere to have my hair done. And every single place that we went, they were saying there's no place to do my hair. They couldn't do anything with my hair. So we had to cut all my hair off. And I didn't have, just because there was nobody to help. So food was exactly like that. Everything was very, very strange. My very first Christmas here, I remember, was very sad because Christmas was a massive deal and surrounding food and food that I grew up eating and food that was really familiar to me. And all of a sudden, you know, there was nothing that was familiar, just potato and stuff that I saw in the supermarket, but even the vegetables were strange. So food was very, very tough. And then I found peanut butter in a jar. And then I started doing like peanut soup for myself because I really like peanut stews and stuff and putting chicken and stuff like that. And Anna also like really loved the peanut soup that I was doing as well. So yeah, and I started exploring that. But even chili, you know, chili is such a big thing in African cooking and spices. I couldn't get that because the only chili that I could get was not even that hot. Like we were looking for chilies and I only could get jalapenos. I was like, this is not hot. This is not chili. So food was a struggle for a little bit until we went to London and I was introduced to Brixton and I was like, oh my God, there's a place that exists that looks like this. So Brixton became the place that I wanted to go to all the time because it felt very familiar.
That's so lovely that finally you found somewhere where you felt sort of comfortable and at home. Yes. But tell us a little bit about standout Sierra Leonean dishes. What, you know, if you had to list the top three dishes, what might they be?
I would definitely say cassava leaf. Cassava leaf sauce, which we call plasas, it's our national dish. So cassava is yuca, but we eat the leaves as well as the roots. And another thing that is quite standard in Sierra Leone as well is sweet potato leaves, because we eat so a lot of the roots stuff. We eat the leaves and we eat the roots, and the same as okra. So we eat okra, but we also eat okra leaves as well. So I would say like those are very, very much Sierra Leonean dishes that like it's a very typical Sierra Leonean dish, like, you know, the leaves and the ingredients that we'll mix it with, because there's a lot that happens with it before it gets to the table. But I would say cassava leaves, sweet potato leaves and okra.
And how much does meat feature in the diet? Is it a largely plant-based cuisine or?
It's a largely plant-based pulse. So we eat lots of pulses, but we also eat lots of fish. We eat fish more than we eat meat. To be fair, before I came to England, I don't really remember eating meat more than three or four times in the year. It was largely fish-based, and we only eat meat probably on special occasions, like when you have Christmas or Easter, or maybe on a Sunday somebody's coming round, and that then we'll have meat. But most of the time, I would say a good 90% of our diet is fish, and we do fish in different forms, like we smoke it, preserving it, and flavor enhancement, and that, and then we fry it and steam it. So lots of different ways to do fish, really. So we eat more fish than anything else.
Just going back, tell me what it was that made you think, I'm going to leave being an accountant and I'm going to do food. I'm going to be a chef. Can you remember a moment?
Yeah. I think it was, so over the years, I always did like dinner parties and I'm always the one that volunteered to cook, whether it's in the office or at home with my friends and family and that. So I was always the one doing that. And all the time while I was doing this, like my friends knew, everybody around me kept saying, oh, you should do something with food. Why aren't you doing food? Why aren't you doing food? But I think it's more like the fear. And I didn't really grow up in a society where that was a job. It's not a job. It's something that you do. It's something that you expected to know to do, but it's not a career path. It's not something that anybody thought would make you money, to be honest. It's not a respectable job, if you like. So it was never really a career path at all. But I think it's over the years because everyone's been saying that. And then I started with the chili sauce. The chili sauce was the one I would say the Salon Fire. It's the one that really started giving me that confidence and how people received that. It was received so well. And, you know, colleagues at work were saying, oh, can you make us? And I started selling it there. And then I did my cousin's wedding. My cousin got married. And she asked me to do her wedding for 60 people. And it was quite scary, but I did it and I did a sit-down meal. It was received so well. After the events, people were asking me for my card and they were asking me, I've got an event. One of her friends was like, I'm getting married next year. Can you do the food for me? And I was like, oh my God. So, so I finally decided to create an Instagram page. And I remember creating that and then posting a couple of photos as well. And it was received so well. And that shocked me. And that was the thing that really spurred me on to say, oh, okay. So maybe I should give this a go. And, maybe I should see this as something that I could do, in the future. Yeah.
And did you make the leap or did you go part-time?
Yes, I did. Oh, absolutely. I did. So after that, I started reducing my hours, at work and, went part-time. And then, I started exploring other products that I could make, started making other products. And then I went to culinary school. So by the time I went to culinary school, I'd given up my job completely, just kind of went through that. And my husband saying, oh yeah, do it. Absolutely do it. I've been telling you for years that you're not really an accountant because you hate it. Cause I really hated my job and I was really unhappy doing it. It felt like a chore. It felt like something that every day of the week felt like Monday, to be honest. So, and just culinary school was hard because I was going into London in the evenings and I was doing products as well. I was doing farmers market. I felt so much happy and I didn't feel like I was working and I didn't feel like I was doing anything hard. It just felt easy. I grew up with everybody saying you're very academic and stuff like that. But I find the creative side and going to, especially culinary school, I find it's incredibly easy. The learning part, things just fell into place very, very quickly. And that just kind of sealed the fact that, yeah, this is what you should be doing. And I just followed it.
So you finished at culinary school and then what happened then? I know you started your supper clubs, which are very popular.
Yes. Yeah. So after culinary school, I got more confident and the products were going. I was doing farmers markets. I was in supper clubs in London. And that was all going well. And then, of course, coronavirus happened. So when coronavirus happened, I thought, you know, initially it was really scary because I had lots of products and I didn't know what to do with it. A friend of mine who works at Medway Hospital, I was saying to her, I don't know what to do with this product. Maybe I should donate some to you guys because there are lots of doctors and people working. And so I donated some to Medway Hospital and it was received really well. I started getting videos from doctors and nurses sending me images and photos of what they were doing with the drinks at the hospital. And that I started posting on social media, that helped improve the sales. And I sold more products during lockdown than any other time. So that kept me going throughout lockdown, just focusing on that and writing more. So I find myself practicing more recipes, being a bit more creative and taking more chances force feeding all my friends and family in lockdown to try different things and different food and try my new creations. Yeah.
And how do you find, you know, the kind of the British response to your home cuisine, Maria? Do you think we're adventurous? Are we embracing it? Or do you feel like you're playing an educational role?
A little bit of both. So some people are very, very adventurous. Some people are playing that educational role. So the people who book me, I would say are really, really adventurous. Like I have next week, an event for 15 people. Only one of them have tried my food, and only one of them is familiar with African food. So the rest are just going to be various super, super adventurous people. So I do meet lots of adventurous people, but I do meet adventurous people who also want to learn, and they're quite keen to learn about other people's culture. And I think that's what I like about the chef table or my private dinners, because it's not just about eating the food. It's also my relationship with the food and being able to communicate that to them and talk about Sierra Leone and culture and all of that. And I always find it's so much easier learning about someone and someone's culture through food anyway. So that has been, like, for me, the channel to talk about Sierra Leone and to educate a little bit about also West African ingredients, because not everyone knows about West African ingredients, which unfortunately still surprises me, because I just feel like, you know, I know a lot about other people's cuisine. So when I meet somebody that's never, don't have any idea about West Africa, you know, not only Sierra Leone, but even West African cuisine, it still surprises me, or African cuisine, it still surprises me, because it's a massive continent and there's so many people there. And our food, it's absolutely amazing and delicious, and it's healthy. There's so much, you know, if you want to be a vegan, pescatarian, vegetarian, there's so much within that continent for everyone to explore. So it's a bit of both, a bit of education, but also, like, for adventurous seekers, really, people who want to learn about other people and want to know about other people's cultures. Yeah.
Do you think there are enough advocates of African food?
Now, yes, it's beginning to be, because there are different facets of it. So there's a lot more, like, street food. Because I remember before, you can't really go into London and find places like street food where you can get African street food and all of that, well, West African street food. And the closest people came to knowing about of African food is really Nando's, which is not really, it's Portuguese influence and stuff. But now there's a lot more people, there's a lot more chefs. And the more that, you know, myself and other African chefs are promoted, are in the, you know, are out there and supported, the more people are curious and the more people want to know, and the more it encourages other, you know, Black chefs or other chefs, to be fair, to explore their country's cuisine or their nation's cuisine and to be confident in it. Because it was the thing before where you're so scared of putting these things out because people aren't going to be open to it. The more and more, like, we keep pushing it and just saying, I don't need to water down my culture for anybody. I'm going to meet you halfway with it by presenting it in a nice way and making sure that I explain to you what's on the plate. But I'm expecting you to also meet me halfway, so you kind of, you know, hopefully enjoy it and learn about it and know that it's important to me as well.
I love that. And are you finding it easier to get the ingredients now?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. A lot more easier. With Sierra Leonean food, it's quite, you know, it's getting a lot better, because there are lots more shops in London, especially, where you can go and meet other Sierra Leoneans who have shops, and you can talk to them about what you're doing, and they can get fresh ingredients. Like, you know, I've had events where I wanted to do sweet potato leaves, and I've contacted a shop in London, and I said, you know, on Thursday I'm doing a corporate dinner in London, and the client has asked for a sweet potato leaf. Very adventurous client, by the way. And that was his first experience with Sierra Leonean food, and he just went for the most traditional stuff that, you know, any Sierra Leonean will have on a Thursday. And I spoke to this supplier, and, you know, by Tuesday there was sweet potato leaf harvested in Sierra Leone and in England on Thursday, and I was able to use it on that Thursday. So how fantastic is that?
That is incredible. That's the global world we live in, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's getting more and more better. And the thing is, you know, with African ingredients, especially some of, like, the rooted vegetables, it's not just coming from Africa now, you know, it's coming from like Brazil and stuff like that. And that correlation, you know, more and more I'm being, you know, when I go to like South American restaurants and I'm having cassava in different forms, which is really exciting because I'm like, oh, we don't eat it like this, but this is so interesting and this is so amazing. And that, so we can get it from that side as well and do our bits with it and do what we do with it to make our cuisine.
Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be preparing for Christmas. What are the standout dishes for you?
For Christmas, I have a very mixed race family. My husband is English, so white English. So, and my children are very used to eating a mixture of both sides. So on usually Christmas Eve, I'll do what we do in Sierra Leone. So Christmas Eve, we don't eat anything heavy because there's a lot happening, on Christmas Day. So we'll tend to eat things like a really light pepper soup, like a really spicy, but comforting soup, light soup. And that will usually use like boiled, cassava or boiled plantain and stuff like that. So we'll still have that here and we'll have lots of drinks and stuff like that. Christmas Day, I tend to go a little bit more traditional, but not too traditional. Like last year, for example, Christmas, we had beef Wellington. But with the beef Wellington, we always make sure that we have, like I would do mashed cassava and mix it with Parmesan cheese. So there's still kind of an element of African ingredients coming into place. I've had beef Wellington before served with like fennel, and I'll make the fennel into like a creamy, almost like mash, but like a creamy kind of thing and serve it with it. So it's a mixture of both. I haven't quite decided yet what we have in this year for Christmas because I don't think I've allowed myself to kind of get into my own Christmas, but it will always be something a little bit of European and a bit of African. So in fact, my family expects that. So we'll have a bit of both, you know, if we're, and New Year's, so we have a tradition at home that we've done since the kids were little. New Year's Day, we always eat something African, always. And it will always be like fufu, which is a fermented dough, and we'll have it with a traditional Sierra Leonean sauce. So my family all knows that. So Christmas, we'll have like an Afrofusion thing, and then New Year, we have a very, very traditional African dish or Sierra Leonean dish, yeah.
And do you have open house? Do people call around? I can't imagine that you don't keep a closed door, Maria. I feel sure that you're keeping a closed door.
So we always have friends and family round. And unfortunately, since it's weird, I don't think I've ever had a Christmas where I've been invited. Everyone just say, oh yeah, so we'll come round, right? So we'll just, can we make desserts or can we make this? And then we'll come round, you'll do dinner. So it's always like that, but I don't mind. I enjoy having people over and cooking. Everyone comes around. So I cannot remember a time where someone had said, oh, you come around for Christmas. It's always been the other way around. Oh, we'll come around to you. How about you do this and we'll bring this and then, you know, we can all have Christmas together, which I don't mind anyway. I say I grew up having big Christmases and everyone coming around. So I enjoy that kind of setting anyway. So it's fun.
And how are you feeling about 2023, Maria? Very exciting. You've got your book coming out and then more and more awareness of food from Africa and specifically thanks to you, Sierra Leone. What are your hopes?
I'm really, really excited for Christmas, for 2023, sorry. I'm really excited for 2023 because, as you say, I've got my cookbook coming out, which is just like, it's exciting. It's fantastic. And Quadril has given me this platform to showcase myself, my culture, and talk about Sierra Leonean people and talk about Sierra Leonean culture. So I'm really excited about that. And I won an award this year, which is just still mind-blowing for African food. I'm hoping that next year I will be able to maybe do a bit more events where it's not just like the private dining that I do, but maybe have a bigger space, because that's what a lot of people have been asking for. Could I do an event where people can buy tickets like Supper Club and come to it? But it'll be kind of what I still do in my studio, where it's really cultural based and still talking about the food and my relationship with it and all of that. So I'm looking to doing a little bit more of that. But I think 2023 is going to be quite exciting. And there's a little bit more awareness, as you say, about African food and West African food and Sierra Leonean food. You know, we're a tiny, tiny nation. And for us to be seen in this way and for our food to be recognized in this way, it's just, yeah, incredible. So I'm really excited about it. And I'm really looking forward to what 2023 brings.
Oh, well, you deserve it all, Maria. Thank Wishing you. You the very, very best for a wonderful year and realization of all your hopes and ambitions. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you so much. I've had a great time.
You're listening to Bread and Butter with Caroline Kenyon.
To find out more about Food FM and our content, go to foodfmradio.com.